Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Not a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
We're back with another Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tommy on the phone because he's up in Sydney. We're chatting all things footy news. COVID is absolutely everywhere. There's some Patrick Cripps news. There's Dreamtime news. We're going to talk a bit of Saints selection. Tommy, how are you going up there in Sydney?
Yeah, good, Rudy. It's funny. I contacted Richmond this morning. We were very helpful and we've come out to their hotel. But it's funny when you're searching for clubs, you know, interstate on the road, it's kind of, they've got a big picture out the front of the hotel. Welcome to the Richmond Tigers. So no secrets here in Sydney where they're staying. And we're actually going to go out and watch Richmond training shortly at 12 o'clock. They've got some big ins this week, the Tigers, which we'll get to shortly.
Indeed. Let's kick off with COVID, though, Tommy. So there was a little bit of consternation that perhaps tonight's game between Melbourne and the Dogs wouldn't go ahead. But you're assuring me that it's all good.
Yeah, so all the players from Melbourne have tested negative. Melbourne confirming that this morning. I flagged that last night as well on social media and our news. So all the players, including the player that was exposed to the Tier 1 site, has tested negative. If that player who'd been exposed in the unlikely event had tested positive, they're only, I'm obviously not naming them like most journalists, but they're only in the rehab group, but that would have put the whole game in jeopardy because they've been in contact with a group. So that would have been a massive concern. But Friday night, arguably the game of the season, unfortunately, not in front of spectators, is absolutely a goer because all the Melbourne players have tested negative. But I can reveal on our podcast this morning, Rudy, a little bit of a quirk in all this. My understanding is that two other senior Melbourne players, and there's nothing wrong with this, has one had a quiet beer, I think, actually went to the Sporting Globe Hotel, which was the exposure site, on Tuesday night. Which, so there's no overlap there with the Tier 1 time, no issues whatsoever. But it was a bit of a quirk that two other Demons players actually went to that site as well on Tuesday night. Sunday night was the night in question. So no, I wouldn't call it a near miss, but some fortunate timing there as well concerning tonight. And geez, we can't wait for tonight's game. But Gil McLaughlin has confirmed this morning when he spoke to 3AW and his weekly radio spot or his regular radio spot that all those players have tested negative and we're on for tonight. As for next weekend, they simply just don't know yet because they are waiting on the testing data. But it's encouraging this morning, four new cases, and those cases are linked to the other cases. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Rudy, we're back as usual next week, but obviously it will depend very much on the data over the weekend and the testing.
Positive signs, though, as you said. Now, Patrick Cripps, you got some news on that, on him, I should say, not that.
This has been flagged, Cripper extending at Carlton and resisting that free agency temptation and the temptation of going back west. His manager, Matt Bain, has been on a break and I think was due back in Melbourne. So he might extend it if he can stay out of the state now at this stage. But Carlton, I think, was due to announce that deal fairly imminently. But just given the COVID situation, I wouldn't be surprised if that's put off slightly now. But there's no issues with Cripper staying at Carlton. I actually ran into him last week just when I was out and about and we're just having a good chat. I didn't ask him specifically about his contract, but I had the very firm impression, Rudy, that he's planning his future life in Melbourne. He's talking about renovations and all sorts of things, and I don't think there's any issue as far as that announcement's concerned fairly soon.
Now, Tommy, you wanted to talk about an AFL all-staff meeting yesterday.
Yeah, they had an all-staff meeting concerning, obviously, the COVID planning. What also came up was some discussion at the moment following Mick Warner's book and an Australian article concerning some payouts to staff, including female staff. There's an article this week that says that 11 staff over the past 10 or 15 years have signed confidentiality agreements when they've left the AFL, eight involving payouts up to $760,000. And Gil McLaughlin, the AFL CEO, did address that issue on 3AW and said that in his time as CEO, they haven't used NDAs, which is non-disclosure agreements. And he doesn't think as a general policy the AFL has used them. This is what Gil McLaughlin said this morning.
I mean, you've made it clear in your time there's been no buying of silence. Have you checked whether there was before your time?
Well, I've checked. We've never used, to my knowledge, we've never used non-disclosure agreements.
At any stage? Before you were chief, I mean?
Correct.
Rudy, I think it's fair to say this issue has rattled the AFL this week. It's sort of simmering below the surface. I know the AFL has been really strong, obviously, on AFLW and all sorts of female initiatives in recent times. But there has been some, I think, some fairly serious issues raised in that Mick Warner book and the article in The Australian this week, and I would expect it to continue to create some discussion.
Indeed. We'll see how that plays out. You also wanted to discuss the impact of COVID on the bargaining agreement.
Yeah, so the collective bargaining agreement, which is basically the players' pay agreement, those negotiations sort of just started. There was already talk with crowds back and clubs sort of getting back into gear financially that the players would recoup some of the money they've given up in the last 18 months. There was talk about a 15% pay rise over the next 3 years, which is 5% per year, or depending how you apportion that. This COVID issue has come at a bad time for the players because this weekend's obviously going to be costly for a lot of the Victorian clubs in particular. It'll also be bad as far as the clubs push for an increased soft cap, which is the amount they can spend on the football department is concerned. And we know that a lot of coaches have been pushing for extra money lately. So this COVID issue is not good for players' pay rise in the short term and is not good for the coaches. Just to put it into context, you know, a team at Marvel that hosts a home game for about 25,000 people, excluding corporate and stuff, they tend to earn, say, $200,000-$400,000 from that. For a big game at the MCG, say 50,000 people, which is what Collingwood, if they were going well, would have expected against Geelong tomorrow. Now, that's worth sort of $500,000 to $750,000 up to $1 million. And these are conservative figures. And if you look at Dreamtime next weekend, there's a lot of talk about Essendon playing Richmond over in Perth. Now, that might have to take place. That's possible. The AFL investigating all sorts of stadiums. One of the issues there is that because Richmond's been in Melbourne, they might be sort of dirty, in inverted commas, from a Perth perspective and can't even go there. So the AFL's got a bit of a scheduling headache on that front. Having said that, there's alternatives. But my point, Rudy, is that if both teams want that game at the MCG, particularly Essendon, the home team, there's a game like that's worth $750,000 up to $1 million for the club. So the AFL, obviously very mindful of the public health thing and health issues, really want spectators back at the game, and so do players and coaches, because this issue, even on a 1 week sample, will cause big financial implications.
Quite eye watering stuff. That even if the game is able to be played at the MCG next week, though, they won't be able to get enough crowd in for those kind of numbers. I wouldn't have thought. Surely the AFL is, like, the AFL and the Victorian government aren't going straight back to, like, you know, like, large crowds.
I can't imagine. I shouldn't speak on behalf of government, but the point is, I don't think we're going to go straight back to 85% capacity. Hopefully, if these numbers stay low and there's no community random cases, we can get crowds back next weekend. But I don't think you'll see anything like 85%. Having said that, even 40, 50, 60, 70% capacity would be better than nothing, because it would definitely assist the club's break even and assist fans getting back. But look, you have to say at this stage, in the context of a seven-day lockdown, you wouldn't think we'd get to 85% next weekend.
No, you wouldn't have. Would not have thought so. Back to some on-field matters, Tommy. St Kilda selection is on the agenda.
Yeah, this was Brett Ratten speaking post-game last week, flagging selection changes.
Players that aren't performing will have to go back to the twos. We've got some players in pretty good form in the reserves.
Rudy, the issue there is that St Kilda haven't dropped any big names. Perhaps Rats, who gets quite passionate, perhaps shouldn't have flagged that. I'm not too sure. But the point is they've stuck with their big names, including Hill and Butler and those types of guys. Hunter Clark was the only real sort of name that came out of the side, and that was because of injury. One of the reasons for that is St Kilda's only got 8 players or so playing in their VFL side due to injury. So they didn't have a lot to select from. But it is interesting, with most of their midfield, and particularly their quick midfielders, missing now this week, Rudy. I wonder if they're a danger of losing against North Melbourne. It doesn't seem out of the question. I'll leave that to the so-called footy experts, but they've got some serious injury problems.
They do indeed, yeah, and frustration is building.
There's Gresham, Jones, Hunter Clark now, and their Ruckman Marshall. So, I mean, that's a pretty formidable chunk of the midfield out.
Yeah, that's right. They're a wait and see. I think they'll beat North. They normally come up good after a big loss like that. But as you said, we'll have to wait and see on that one. Some other selection stuff around the grounds. Tommy, Tim English, Christian Salem,
Tim English,
and others.
Back tonight from his concussion. Salem back from that groin complaint. Taylor Adams a big out for Collingwood with a knee issue. I mean, Collingwood up against Geelong tomorrow. But you can see the impact.
I've got to say, I gave them a sneaky chance against the Pies, but I think without Taylor Adams, against the Cats, I should say, but I think without Taylor Adams, it's just a bridge too far.
Yeah, Jake Stringer back for the Bombers, which is a big in there. Burgoyne and Shields, big ins for Hawthorn. They'll welcome back that experience. I'm actually going out to Hawthorn training at 4 o'clock this afternoon with the latest on their preparation on the news tonight. And some massive ins for Richmond. We're about to go to Richmond training now, actually. But Cochin, Bolton, Caddy and Prestia are all in their extended squad. Obviously, with Tom Lynch out, that's massive for Richmond.
Yes, injury concerns all season for Richmond, but that's pretty much almost an entire like midfield line that they're getting back there. So yeah, pretty handy incredible stuff, as you said. Before we go, Tommy, you've also you want to chat about Brendan Gale and the AFL.
Yeah, I just flagged on our podcast, Rudy, Richmond's sort of slightly funny relationship with the AFL. I think it was last week or the week before. I mean, it was simmering last year with some of Harwick's comments in the hub and behaviour in the hub and on the hub that Peggy O'Neill commented on before the end of the year. They said to rein Dimmer in a little bit. It was obviously exacerbated recently with the toing and froing over Richmond's interpretation of the AFL over the fight, the nightclub fight involving Shea Bolton and Daniel Rioli. And obviously the comments last week regarding Marvel, which is the AFL sort of jewel in the crown, if you like, of their asset portfolio. Brendan Gale has spoken this morning on SEN and did say that, in his view, whilst they're quite robust in their discussions with the AFL Richmond, it's a good relationship. So I think you have to take him on merit there. But it has been tested. But it's an interesting discussion, isn't it? Because as Eddie Maguire said on Footy Classified this week, the independent clubs don't have to be in step with the AFL all the time. I mean, you know, the independent clubs bring in the money and they're entitled to advocate their interests. They don't have to sort of toe the party line. And from time to time, there'll be some disagreement between the big clubs and the AFL on various issues. And I guess that's healthy. We can't just have, it can't be completely socialist, Rudy. You can't have every club under the thumb of the AFL. And Brendan Gale did address that issue this morning.
Indeed. Again, the Richmond relationship, the AFL is one to watch. I think we've just about done here, Tommy. So I might let you get out to all those training sessions that you've got to go to, but do make sure you stay across the footy on Triple M all weekend, especially our Melbourne listeners who are locked down. Starting tonight at Marvel, but with that massive game between the Dogs and Melbourne, with Howie, Das, Chief, Brownie, Damo, Sarah, Ollie and Ash Tua. So stay across Triple M footy, listen wherever you can, and we'll see you next week, Tommy.
Thanks, Rudy.